Our study this morning finds us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we are going to dig ourselves in to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he talks to them in two verses we're going to start with about an occasion, an incident that happened to him on the province of Asia. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9. For we do not want you to be unawares, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There was an occasion when the Apostle Paul was in the province of Asia. And while there, he got himself into great trouble. He describes that trouble at the end of verse number 8. He said it was so bad that we despaired of life itself. Now, I want you to think about that statement. I want you to think about the man who wrote that statement. Paul said, I despaired of life itself. Brethren, the Apostle Paul was a man of incredible strength. Later on in this epistle, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul outlines some of the things that he had endured for the cause of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, Paul said that 5 times I received of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Listen to me. 195 lashes were placed on his back. His back had to look like something other than human. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now, the lashes was a Jewish form of punishment. The rods were a Roman form of punishment. Paul said on 3 occasions, the Roman authorities took me out and beat me with rods. He said on 1 occasion, I was stoned. That's found in Acts the 14th chapter and in the 19th verse. Paul was dragged outside the city of Lystra. He was stoned, and when they walked away, they thought he was dead. We're rid of him. Now, if you stayed in 2 Corinthians 11, and if you read down further into that chapter, there are 8 different times when Paul says, I was imperiled. I was imperiled here. I was imperiled with these people. I was imperiled over there. The term he uses, imperiled, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is translated great danger. I was in great danger there. I was in great danger there. I was in great danger, great danger, great danger, great danger, great danger, great danger. And yet, in spite of all of these things that he lists, the apostle just kept going. He just kept moving. He kept going. But then Paul says, there was 1 time in Asia. He said that one occasion, I thought I was going to die. Here's what I'm asking. Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt that way? Has there ever been a time in your life that you felt just so overwhelmed? When you were just so entangled by the circumstances that were around you that you actually began to question, am I even going to be able to survive this? If you have ever felt this way, you're not alone. Because the greatest missionary who ever lived said that on one occasion, he said, I thought I was going to die. And in the end, at the end of verse number 8, he said, I despaired even for life itself. But then he says in verse 9 that what I did is I kept relying on God. And I just relied on God. And I just kept trusting in God, and I kept trusting in God, and I kept trusting in God. And Paul says, God delivered me. Now watch, because we're going to turn a little bit here. There was a reason that Paul was delivered. There was a reason that God delivered Paul from that mess in Asia. And the reason that God delivered him is that God has a plan. Listen to me. God has a plan to help the hurting of the world. God has a plan to help the brokenhearted. And God has a plan to help those whom the world has taken down, but who need to get back up. God has a plan to comfort those who hurt in this world. That plan is found right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's in two verses. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to scope those two verses quickly to tell you what they mean. Then after that, we're going to go to them same two verses, and we're going to take a look at what the plan is. And then when we see what the plan is, I want to make two observations about the plan. Now, look at verse 3 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, look at verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul says at the end of verse 3, God is the God of all comfort. The word comfort in verse 3 The word comfort comes from a compound word. It's two words that Paul took and rammed them together to get what he wanted. The first word means to call. The second word means alongside. The word comfort in verse 3 is talking about when somebody calls alongside of somebody else and offers them hope. When somebody calls alongside somebody and offers them help and courage and confidence. Paul said that it is God who is the God of all comfort. Paul says in verse 3 that it is God who comes alongside of us, his people. God calls alongside and God offers us hope. God calls alongside and offers us confidence and faith and healing and help. That it's God who does that. You got it? Verse 4. Paul says, who, God, comforts us in all our afflictions. The word comforts in verse 4 is different than the word comfort in verse 3. You see, but they look the same. They're not the same. Now, the most obvious difference in the English translation is the plural form is used in verse 4. There's an S on the end, comforts. But the difference between the two words is that the word comforts in verse 4 in that passage, it is presented as a present tense verb. What does that mean? What that means is that this is something that God constantly does for us. Don't leave me. Paul says that God is constantly calling alongside of us and encouraging us. God is consistently calling alongside of us and helping us. God is ever present, coming alongside and giving us courage and giving us confidence. You understand? Now let's look at these two verses. Let's look at these two verses here. And then we're going to look at the plan. Verse 3 and 4, look at them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, coming alongside and helping you. Verse 4, who comforts us, listen to it, in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. What does that mean? Here's what that means. God allows us to hurt. God allows us to suffer. There are times when God even allows us to despair of life itself. But there's a reason. When we suffer, and when we hurt, and when we despair, we then go to God and receive only the comfort that God is able to give. And once we receive that comfort, The plan is that then we go about life, and when we find others who were suffering in the way that we suffered, we share with them the comfort that God gave to us when we suffer. Listen, that's the plan. That's the plan. But brethren, listen to me. What a plan it is. Look.
Who is better qualified to help the bereaved than somebody who at one time was bereaved themselves? Who is better qualified to help the struggling and the downtrodden than somebody who at one point in their own life was downtrodden and needed help?
Don't turn bitter when life has hurt you, because bitterness is not the plan. Don't quit when life has hurt you. Quitting isn't the plan. Don't start pointing fingers and placing blame everywhere when life hurts you. Look, pointing fingers isn't the plan. The plan is that when life gets me, when the world gets me, when the devil gets me, and when I'm down and when I'm out, I then go to God and God gives me comfort, and then I go about life, and when I see others who are in the mess I was in, I extend to them the comfort that God gave to me. Listen. Life is going to get you. And when life gets you down, look, go to God. Just go to God. You got to help me. Help me. I'm hurt. This happened. That happened. Help me. Then get up and help somebody else who went through what you did. Beg God. God, you got to do something. And right now, God, you got to help me get up off my knees. Thank you, Lord. He did it. So now you know what I do? Next time Odell is on his knees, I'm going to help Odell get up off his knees. Listen to me. The very, very thought that this plan exists, the very reason that this plan exists, implies two things to every Christian. Listen to me. Here's what I'm telling you, and I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. Because this is a plan, because this is God's plan to help the hurting, because this is a plan, because this plan exists, means there are two things that every single Christian needs to understand because of the existence of this plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number one, because this plan exists, every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that we don't tend to think like that. When I was several weeks old, my mother wrapped me in a blanket and brought me to church, and I've been here ever since. So
So I know what people thought a generation ago. This is not how we tend to think. The way we think is that, well, there's the preacher and there's the elders, and they have the ministry, and they know how to talk to people, and they know how to encourage people, and they know how to help people. And that's true, but listen carefully. Absolutely every Christian has a function in God's plan to help others. Every person who has ever went to God to get help, God expects that person to share that help with somebody else. And every Christian who has ever gone to God to get comfort and to get encouragement, God expects that Christian to then get up off their knees and go help somebody else who needs that comfort and encouragement that God gave to them. Let me say it like this. Somebody today, listen to me. Somebody today is standing where you were standing when your life fell apart. Somebody today is standing in the shoes that you were standing in when your life disintegrated around you. Look, nobody can help them like you can. You know how they feel. You know how they feel. Listen, help them. Help them. If you have ever lost a loved one, someone whom you love as yourself, if you've ever sat down across the desk from a funeral director and did that, if you've ever been taken in that back room where you can select a casket for your loved one, if you've ever had to go home and pull clothes out, we think she liked to be buried in this. He said he wanted to be buried in that. If you've ever gone through that experience, listen to me. Somebody today is in those shoes. They're going through that. Nobody can help them like you can. If your telephone has rung in the middle of the night and the voice on the other end has told you, so-and-so, family member, somebody you love, has been taken to the emergency room. If you've ever gotten up in the middle of the night and got dressed and went into emergency room, and if you have ever paced back and forth into an emergency room, and if you have ever paced back and forth praying and paced back and forth begging and paced back and forth crying and waiting for what seems like an eternity for somebody to come out here and tell me something, if you've ever done that, people are there today. You can help them. You've walked through that. If you are a cancer survivor, If a doctor has ever looked at you and said, it's cancer. If you've been through the chemo, if you've been through those treatments, somebody is going through that now. Nobody can help them better than you can. You can at least walk them through the procedure. This is what is going to do. You say, but when they tell you you have cancer, they explain it to you. Bless God, when they say you have cancer, you don't hear anything else after that. You're trying to digest that. You're not listening to what comes out after the word cancer. I want to say this too. If you're struggling, listen to me, with an addiction, listen to me. If it's alcohol, if it's chemical, whatever the addiction is, there are people who are struggling with that. They don't want it anymore. They want help. They want to know what to do. I try and I mess up, and I try and I do well for a while and I mess up. Listen, nobody can help them like you can. Preacher, just say what you want to say. I'm going to say what I want to say. Every struggle that you have ever been through in your life has equipped you to help others. That's what I'm saying. Everything that you've been through has equipped you to help others. Here's what I'm saying. Just give to others what God has given to you. Paul said there was one occasion in the province of Asia. There was one occasion when I thought I was going to die. The sentence of death had been handed down. It was beyond what we could do. I'm going to die. But I kept trusting God and trusting God and trusting God. And God delivered him. But God delivered him because he has a plan. Take what life has dealt you. You take what it has dealt you. You take it to God. God will continually call alongside you and help you, and then share that help with somebody else. Every Christian has a ministry. The fact that this plan exists suggests the second thing. Every Christian has tremendous worth. Every Christian has tremendous worth. Please let me explain this. The world may look at you as worthless. The world may look at you, you're unimportant. The world may look at you and dismiss you at hand because you don't matter. But that's not how God feels about you. That's not how God feels about you. I'm going to tell you how God feels about you. And I'm serious as a heart attack. And then I'm going to prove what I'm about to say. Here's how God feels about you. God feels you're a specialist. You're a specialist. You say, how so? This is how so. When you take the help and the comfort that God has given to you. And when you share that help and comfort with somebody else, that makes you the biggest world, the biggest somebody the world's ever seen. Look, what's bigger than that? What's bigger than that? Somebody who the world has discarded, somebody that Satan has drugged through hell and back, somebody whose life is in a mess. Maybe it's their fault, maybe it's somebody else's fault, but they're messed up. You've been messed up too. We've all been messed up. But God comes alongside and helps us. And when you go alongside and help that person, and when that person raises up out of the ashes of what hell has done for them, you can't do anything better for them. You a deal. You're a deal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen. Lord, help me say this. Listen. When you take the help that God gave you when you were down and you give that to somebody else, nobody on this planet is doing anything bigger than you're doing. They just aren't. Every Christian has a ministry. And what I'm talking about right now, I'm talking about something that can give purpose to your pain. Life has flipped you upside down and you're in pain, but I'm talking about something that can give purpose to that pain when you share the help that God gave you in that pain with somebody else. What I'm talking about this morning, I'm talking about you taking the greatest defeat in your life and turning it into victory. Every circumstance, look at me. Every circumstance that you have been through in life has trained you to serve in the greatest army that the world has ever known, and that is the army of God. And let me make it very clear that the army of God, you and I, we are an army that is made up exclusively of wounded soldiers. I'm gonna tell you something else too. I'm gonna tell you something else. I want you to remember this about this place. I'm talking about this place and I'm talking about us. This is not a museum. The Church of Jesus Christ isn't a museum where we come in and show off our perfection. We don't have any perfection. The Church of Jesus Christ, this is a hospital. That's what this place is. This is a spiritual hospital where people who have been beat down by the world can come in here and find out there's a God who loves them, and it's filled with people whom God has helped, and now they're willing to help me. We're not a museum, we're a hospital. So I got a question. Man, is that good? I got a question. What is your specialty? What is your specialty? Is your specialty a prolonged illness? That your specialty? And it just keeps going on and on. But God keeps giving you grace and grace. And you take that favor and grace and comfort and share that with somebody else who is in a prolonged illness. What is your specialty? Have you lost loved ones? Is that your specialty? Mercy, burying family members. Is that your specialty? Your heart been broken? You knew you weren't going to be able to live through it? But you kept trusting on God, and God kept coming alongside of you. And God helped you. What's your specialty? The worst day of your life was training you. The worst experiences of our lives were equipping us. God didn't bring it on us, but God helped us come out of it. And God didn't bless me so I could just keep it. God has blessed me so that I can get up off my knees slowly and come out and help and encourage others. God has a plan to help the hurting. God has a plan to comfort the world. And as his people, all of us are involved in this. Listen to me. We are all involved in this. When you hurt, you ask God to help you. And when God helps you, you help somebody else. There is no reason for anybody here, no reason for anybody here to struggle alone. Now, there's not a crystal ball back there in that office. So if you don't tell somebody, we can't know. What's your specialty? There's a sister sitting back in the back here who lost her husband and grieved and grieved and grieved, and she pulled up out of the ashes, and now she has a ministry to grief share with other people. You know how many people are going to be blessed because of that? She could have crawled up in a fetal position and talked about how God awful God is and the world is. So what are you going to do? The bumps are what you climb on. So take what happens to you, get help from God, and then help somebody else. Listen to me. If you've allowed what you've gone through to stop you, if you've allowed what you've gone through to cause you just to quit, God doesn't love me in all that racket, you come back to God. You come back to God. God specializes in helping folks who don't think they can be helped. But you come to God. Bring it. But my mess, bring your mess with you. But you bring it and you come. Let God help you so that you can help others. As together we stand.